Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Today's text is the Gospel from Matthew 25, 14 through 30. I will not reread it. The parable of the talents is often frustrating to our ears because it directly deals with the issues of how we view God and the doctrine of vocation. These issues few like hearing about, and many want simplified to when the church speaks on the topic that vocation simply become giving money by using the term stewardship. Sad to say, those who desire these topics to be addressed more frequently in the church are those who have often jumped into the camp of the Pharisees, believing that they are keeping God's law while others are falling short and they need to be beaten over the head with the law of God that, of course, I am keeping. This is probably why churches, and some still do to this day, printed offering scandal sheets. You know, each year they would print a list of what everybody gave by name, or maybe just by offering number that never changed. So everybody in the church would know what somebody was giving, thus making those who gave much feel very secure, and those who gave less or nothing to have nothing but guilt left, which loses sight of Jesus speaking about the widow's mite completely. This guilt removes the joy of being a joyful giver, which the Lord loves, and into being a fearful giver, which removes all joy from the Christian. Sad to say, we often stumble into this group as we have desire to base our righteousness on the perceived failings of others. All I can say to this is repent, dear friends in Christ, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. May we all cry out, Lord, have mercy, and know indeed that He does. Just look at our text. The first thing we see is this phrase, for it will be like it. What's the it? It's judgment day. This is another parable told by Jesus to remind the hearers that there will be a day of settling, a day the accounts will be squared, a day on which the judge will declare you and me faithful or unfaithful, a sheep or a goat. Thus it appears that the master in this text represents God or Jesus. The servants stand for all people, believers and unbelievers. And the talents symbolize the various gifts God places into our care throughout our life for service to Him by serving our neighbors. Notice, though, that God doesn't give us all the same earthly blessings. To one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. You see, it is according to our ability that our earthly blessings are given. Yet let us not confuse earthly blessings with eternal blessings. For this has nothing to do with the gift of salvation, which is ours by grace through faith in Christ alone. We all receive the same gift of salvation because it has nothing to do with our own ability. Which is why we confess that we can't come to faith by our own reason or strength. It is also why our God-given faith must remain in the person and works of Jesus' death and resurrection. As He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could receive the righteousness of God. In the parable of the talents, each servant is entrusted with the gift. This parable is about how you view God and thus our faithfulness to our vocations that God has given us to His glory and the benefit of our neighbor. A talent is roughly equivalent to what one would earn in an entire lifetime. To one was given 5, enough for 5 lifetimes. Another 2, enough for 2 lifetimes. And then finally, the 1. Thus, the question becomes, what are you going to do now that you have nothing to do? It's kind of like when Luther's lecturing on Romans and talks about justification by grace through faith on account of Christ, and one of his students go, "Are you saying I can do anything I want and be saved?" And Luther responds, "Yes." And then he says, "And as a Christian, what do you want to do?" Oh, that kind of twists it a little bit, doesn't it? Because when my flesh hears the yes to the first thing, oh, I've got an endless buffet of things I can do that won't make me gain weight. Right? But when you ask then as a Christian, what are you going to do? Now it becomes, oh, I have to think about God's will a little more than I'm thinking, you see. This text reveals to us the very real extremes on the day of accounts. We see great profit and great laziness, great generosity and horrifying judgment. In these servants, we should see ourselves. Or have we always been faithful? Have we always been faithful with everything God has given us? The answer, of course, is no, me neither. We confess that very fact this morning. If we don't, we will be called worthless servants and cast into the utter darkness, in that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, fear and pride often get in our way of our repentance, causing us instead to blame others, like the third servant. Did you catch that? "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." Does that sound familiar to you? Remember in the garden after the fall, Adam says it was the woman you gave me. Eve says it was the snake. And all in all, they're blaming God. It's crazy how we often want to blame others for our very own sins. If we seriously look into the mirror of God's law, we will see our own sins and not another's. We can't honestly say that we have dedicated all our time, talents, and treasures to assist our neighbor who struggles with their sins by supporting the proclamation of God's word, and the countless struggles that we and our neighbors face due to living in a fallen and sinful world. The work of the church is to make disciples of Jesus by baptizing and teaching, and part of that teaching includes calling sinners to repent even when they fall back into those same sins over and over again, and to restore all repentant sinners in Christ's absolution. We must confess that we have squandered the gift of God that He has given us, doing even worse than burying them in the ground. We have watched generations of children be killed, abused, and neglected. We have forsaken our vocation of parenting. We have made it easier for men and women to fornicate and divorce, forsaking the vocation of marriage. We have been increasingly narcissistic, forsaking the vocation of serving our neighbors. We have hidden the light of the gospel and our life in Christ as we have forsaken our vocation as Christian in both tables of the law, be that with family, friends, and co-workers and classmates, just to mention a couple. And our text is warning us that the day of judgment is coming. That's what the last few Sundays of the church year always do, warn us of judgment that's coming. So let us hear the call to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is most definitely at hand. Therefore, the Christian life is to be one of repentance, as we need the forgiveness of our sins each and every minute of every day. You see, there is only one who is faithful, and He's the one telling the parable. The one we have rejected and made often less important than earthly things. The one we beat, mocked, and cast lots for His clothes and crucified on a Roman cross with our sins. He alone was faithful unto death, even praying for his persecutors, which includes us in that list, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus spared nothing, not even his life, in his service to the Father and his service to his neighbor, so that we who deserve the righteous punishment given to the third serpent, to be thrown in outer darkness into the place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, that is hell and eternal suffering, we deserve to be called unfaithful. Instead, we have this beautiful swap given to us by God's grace through faith. We have Jesus' faithfulness credited as our own. This is how the Son sets you free. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. Therefore, by Jesus' substitutionary atonement for all of us, shall we, through God-given faith, hear on the day of the accounts being settled, well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. This is the gospel. The only begotten Son has set us free, and we are free indeed. The love of the Father is unquestionable because of the death and resurrection of the Son. So the question is still left. What are you going to do now that you have nothing to do? For our sins are forgiven. So instead of guilt, dear friends in Christ, go in peace in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.